Welcome, friends, to the Homegirls Podcast. This is a place to be if you have questions about buying and selling in today's real estate market. My name is Beth Hobart. I'm a top-selling, award-winning Central Florida realtor, and I'm here with my incredible co-host, Vicki Molitaire.
Hey, friends.
A top-producing, highly recognized mortgage expert. Together, we have over 50 years of combined experience helping clients achieve their goals of homeownership in any market. Our mission, to help you find your way home. So let's get started. Hey, Vicki.
Hey, Beth. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing this week?
I'm doing fine. We've got a kind of a fun episode where we're going to bring in some Q&A from our listeners. But why don't we chat a little bit about your little adventure? I think everyone will like to hear about that. You had kind of a fun weekend with your photographer husband, Jim. Tell us more.
Yeah, we did. We went on a little eclipse journey. And we were in the initial discussions, we were thinking Maine, but then everybody was like, everything is closed in Maine until May or June. So if you go to Maine, nothing's going to be open. And I was like, that would stink. Then we were considering Texas and we were trying to figure it out and trying to figure out whether, you know, that's so hard. So we were just like, you know what? Why don't we just get a cheap flight somewhere a little closer, you know, go to Memphis, drive up to Arkansas. And we'll do that. So we were
was
like,
that your first time to Arkansas
and Memphis. Yes, it was, Vicki. Okay, yes, good. It was. So we did. So we flew into Memphis and, we actually stayed at the Peabody Hotel when we were there. Which, you know, it has the ducks. Do you remember the ducks?
Yeah. In Orlando, they had the Peabody.
So that was really cool. And, so we started there. And then I think a day or two later, we tooled around Memphis and it was great and we had good weather. And then we drove up to Arkansas 2 hours to Batesville, Arkansas, which was in the path of totality. And we were just thinking, okay, let's go somewhere where there's not going to be many crowds. We thought, you know, it would be kind of a better situation than going to like a big city or something like that, right? Like that's another reason why we chose where we chose. So we go to Batesville and it was what you would expect. There's nothing in Batesville, Arkansas, except for farms. Thank you, farmers, because we need to eat. So appreciate the farmers, but there was really nothing there. And then we figured out that we were in a dry county to boot.
Oh.
So we, you know, we went to get snacks because we thought, okay, if we get stuck in traffic, we're going to need some kind of snacks and whatever. Maybe we should get wine or beer, so, you know, just something eclipse watching, you know, because, you know, I feel like a drink and the eclipse
celebrate.
Would be really nice.
It could be a once in a lifetime thing. I don't know if we'll be around in 20 years, right?
I know. So we were like, oh my God, we're in a dry county. And the way that we found out was we were in probably a Kroger and we're like, hey, where's the beer and wine? Is that at a separate store? He's like, oh, he's like, not in this county. It's dry. And we were like, oh, well, like, what do we do? What do we do? And he's like, yeah, and it's a Sunday. He's like, so you're not going to be able to find it anywhere. Even if you weren't in a dry county, you can't buy it on Sunday anyway. So I was like, oh my God, so many rules. So then we found out that there was a restaurant on the river. It was called the River and Sandbar. And so we went there because we heard that they would serve liquor, which doesn't make any sense to me, Vicki, because if you can't drink liquor at home, but you can drink it out somewhere, but then you're driving home. Safer if you just have a drink at home.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we go to this place and that was on the Sunday night. So the eclipse was Monday and we were like, hey, nice person serving us. Her name was, Lindley was her name. We made friends with her and, she was like, oh my God. She's like, come back tomorrow. We open at 11, just camp out. She's like, cause if it gets busy, then you'll have a table. And she's like, you can just hang out here. Totally fine. We were like,
have snacks, drinks, and see the eclipse right from the restaurant on the river.
Right on the river. It was beautiful. So,
I didn't realize that's where you were. I pictured you in a parking lot or a field somewhere. That's awesome.
I mean, we were close to a parking lot. There was a couple of parks that were right there. So as the day progressed and we were getting closer to, you know, to the eclipse, a lot of people started filling in and they were camping out. And there was this really cool, it was kind of like a beach sandbar type situation and cars were driving on it and camping out and there were kids and dogs and just people waiting to see the eclipse. So it was a perfect spot. We had the perfect day, super clear skies. And it was incredible to see it firsthand. Was absolutely incredible because it really does get dark. You know, it's like nighttime.
I saw so pictures. That's crazy.
Yeah. So just to see it go from day to night for that 4 minutes and everything is like still and dark and super weird. But everything leading up to that, the shadows that it forms, and it just, it's really interesting. It was really the coolest thing I've ever seen firsthand. So
did it get colder? It did.
It dropped probably 10 degrees probably.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a total body experience, not just visual, but you're feeling it.
That's And we were able to see stars too. So you were able to see Jupiter and Venus, I think, which was cool too. It was really great. I think the only bad part was when we went to leave, we were like, well, we won't leave right away. We'll stay like a little while longer because let the crowds kind of filter out from Arkansas. But what we didn't realize was we probably should have stayed an extra day there because there were so many people on the roads and we only you know, single lane roads, essentially, like, you know, one lane coming, one lane going. And as you can imagine, everybody was trying to get back to Memphis or wherever the hell they were going. And we got stuck in 5 hours of traffic.
Oh my gosh. So, just to get out of Arkansas?
Just to get out of Arkansas. Yeah. And then we,
I mean, the average home price in Batesville, Arkansas right now. I just have to know.
Yeah. What is it?
I'm looking. How long did it take you guys to get back to Orlando? Oh, you flew. That's right.
Yeah. So we ended up getting to Memphis really late that night, got to the hotel and just camped out and just hung out and then left the next morning. So we kind of lost a night when we got back to Memphis, but all in all,
Batesville's a good town to buy a house in. The average median home price was $225,000 last year.
There you go. If you want a lot of lands, or you want to be a farmer. I respect farmers a lot, but I could not live in the middle of nowhere like that. I just couldn't. I need things to do and people to see. And then I was thinking, where the hell, like, where's the hospital? Like, where, if you lived in the middle of nowhere, you could be like an hour from a hospital, 40 minutes, whatever. Like, that's scary too.
That's how these two girls think now, because we're in the squeeze with her parents right now.
It's true.
We're both dealing with aging parents. You start thinking about that, guys, when you get older.
It's true.
So the hospital?
I know. How are things with you?
They're good. We're plugging through. I know a lot of our listeners are too. I've got an aging mom who's a widow who dealing with a chronic illness and had a stroke. But man, she is scrappy and a fighter, and she's trying to make her way back. So how about you and your parents?
Yeah. I mean, my dad, same thing. My dad's been in the hospital. So I'm dealing with congestive heart failure. He's 83. So, and this is the second hospitalization since January. So it's been pretty rough. This season, I always hate saying this season of my life because it's, I feel like it's overdone, but it's so true. It's like a lot of people are going through this too. So if you're going through it, just let us know.
We
can sit down and have a coffee, have a chat, vent a little bit. I often thought about starting like a walking group or something to like, just so you can vent,
alleviate the stress. Yeah. I actually had a client yesterday. We didn't realize we were both in the same position, you know, trying to make his mom feel like, you know, she's still in control of part of her life. But the reality is we're all going to hit an age, you know, and it's usually in 80s and 90s where, you know, you have to rely more heavily on the people that you love. So we get it.
We're lucky to get that. Like, I'm lucky to have my parents for so long, right? Like, they're in their 80s. I mean, I feel really fortunate. But it was funny the other day. I knew my dad was feeling better when he started just getting more and more progressively grumpy and then yelling about politics and everything is terrible. And I was just like, oh my gosh, well, you're feeling better. You know, that's a good sign.
I haven't told you this, but I do tell you a lot. But I know when my mom's feeling better because she's like, I need my wig and my makeup and my earrings before anyone else walks through that door.
That's so funny.
So sassy. Well, today we have some questions from our listeners. You want to knock those out, get started?
Yeah, let's get started. So what do we have?
The first one's actually for you. You want me to go?
Yes, go ahead. You go.
So a really common question, I know we both get this, but we need your expertise to answer. Why are websites like Zillow, Redfin, Realtor.com you know, they give an estimated value, but why is it always best just to ask your realtor? They're always just so off, in my opinion.
Yeah. And they fluctuate like every day, I feel like, right? Like you can go on a Monday that's different from a Friday. I mean, these are just algorithms. So they're just pulling all the information collectively from the area. It doesn't take into account any upgrades you've put into the home. It doesn't take into account all the little nuances that make your house special that a realtor would know, because a realtor is going to know the market. They're going to know what's going on in your area. They're going to know, hey, I sold a house right down the block, maybe off market, you know, so maybe it's not in the MLS. So I know what that house got. Yours is very, very similar. I think we can get more than what the Zillow estimate says. You know, everything, you know, when we're pricing properties, we're looking at what has sold within the last few months, you know, within, you know, a mile radius, less would it be even better in the neighborhood. We can go as far out as 2 miles, but, you know, a lot of it is all the little details that make your house special. What is the age, the condition, you know, the bones of the house, the roof, the plumbing, the HVAC, the electrical, things of that nature. All those things make up what gives you the value. And let's say your house is something that you've owned for 50 years. But you've updated it, but you've never sold. Like, they don't know that true estimate of your house because they don't know what's in it. Good, I mean, point. That's a perfect example.
Okay. All right. And that makes sense. They're just, you know, like you said, it's an algorithm. They're just gathering up sales prices in zip codes and mm-hmm. taking an average. Doesn't
right.
no, mean they're really comparing your house to yeah. houses that an appraiser or a realtor would compare.
Yeah, good. I think it's fine to look. I think everybody looks, but I think it's always good to just really, you know, drill down into the facts and what you really can find that's really close and really comparable to that property.
So. And you want your past clients to call you with those questions, right?
Yeah.
You and Josh. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Whether you're, you know, looking to get your PMI off of your mortgage or, you know, pull money out to buy a house or, you know, whatever it is. I mean, I'm always happy to look at the numbers, or if you're thinking about renting out your house and doing something else. Like, I always like to be in the know. That way I can, you know, offer advice and help where I can.
Love it. Awesome. You want to tackle number two, or actually ask me number two?
Yeah. So, okay. So another question that we received was, why would a buyer go FHA versus conventional? That's a great question. And I would like to know the answer to that too, because we had a situation where somebody could have gone conventional, which, and maybe we can talk, once you answer this question, we can kind of talk about offers and how these different things like that impact offers.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And making that decision, that's why you get pre-approved, right? Because we get all the information, not just about the buyer, but then what the buyer's needs, wants, desires are, and what their plan is for the house. And then we can best decide, okay, which product makes the most sense. But in more general terms, some people are better suited for FHA because maybe their credit score is a little bit lower. FHA will let you have more debt and still qualify. So FHA is good for people who have a lot of debt, student loans, things like that. FHA also allows more of a seller contribution, mm-hmm. believe it or not. We don't always need it, but some buyers do. So DTI, credit score, sometimes buyers are cautious about talking about FHA because they've heard that the mortgage insurance lasts longer than conventional. And that's true. I mean, FHA mortgage insurance is paid monthly, and it will be paid monthly for the life of the loan, where conventional, the mortgage insurance will usually cancel out in like 8 to 10 years for most clients. But the FHA mortgage insurance gets cheaper every year. And half the time I'm talking to someone that's not going to live in the house longer than 5 to 7 years anyway. So who cares, right?
Right.
Go FHA if it helps you get in sooner than later. Mm-hmm. But the number, you know, the main reasons we go FHA is credit score and debt ratio, because right. it helps the buyer just qualify for more, or it helps them buy, you know, can have a lower payment. You know, some clients that have that credit score like in the high 600s, that's a good credit score. That's like the average for our county. But if I compare a payment on an FHA loan versus a conventional loan, if your credit score is like 680, it's going to be cheaper for you monthly right. if you go FHA. So sometimes it's just a strategy to make the payment less too. So those are probably the top three reasons.
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, it's always good to do whatever is in the best interest of the customer. So So there you go. So, I mean, whatever works. I think the only thing that can be tricky sometimes is in a multiple offer situation. Sometimes sellers are more geared towards cash or conventional, with FHA and VA falling to the bottom of that list, because sometimes the guidelines can be a little bit stricter. So,
yeah, so, you know, that's FHA appraisers. Yeah, well, that is, I think, partially just perception. They're like, oh, well, why are they going FHA? There must be something wrong.
Right.
You know, but you have to remember, maybe we have, I just had one where we had a couple and she had stopped working because they had their third child and it just was more cost effective for her to have the kids be at home with the kids. So with just his income carrying, you know, their debt, they could buy more house going FHA. And right. That was the only reason. And his credit score was right around, you know, 690. So it was just a little bit cheaper for their family as they made this adjustment. But that's where that call to the listing agent, when we make offers, like, yeah, hey, this is a client with a great credit score and a, you know, a salaried job, and there's nothing wrong. It's just right. Better for them to go FHA.
Yeah. And I think you bring up a good point. Like when you call up the agent, I mean, that's where the two agents, the buyer and the selling agent, really need to have those conversations and make sure that the buyer's, you know, being fully represented in that capacity if they, you know, if that's the reason they're going FHA. So yeah, I think absolutely, those conversations need to happen, you know, because again, if it's best for the, you know, the buyer, then I'm going to work.
You've got to roll with it.
Going to work off to make sure that you get that offer accepted no matter what. I just want you to be happy. And so, yeah, so I would have that conversation. I would have you call, talk to that agent, you know, and just make sure that the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed.
Perfect. So this is a pretty common one. I think we've talked about it before too, but I'm still getting the question. I have buyers saying, okay, what's going on with home prices? Should I wait until home prices and rates come down to buy? You know, are houses getting more expensive? They're seeing more houses for sale. Like, give us a feel for what's going on in the market right now for buyers.
I mean, I can tell you on the seller side, when I am listing properties, we're going under contract pretty quickly with more than one offer. So we're still seeing multiple offers at different price points, especially the lower price points, but we're seeing that at the higher ones too. So, I mean, homes are moving. If you're priced right in a good location, you're going to sell pretty quickly. You know, so under a week, you know, like sometimes we don't even get to the open house and we have multiple offers. We've had a lot of sales that are off market. So if we know that if we have a buyer that's looking for, you know, for a particular property and it fits their needs, we'll kind of have that conversation between the buyer and the seller and just say, hey, is this a win-win for both of you? You know, if it is, then we move forward. If it's not, then we bring it to market. But yeah, so we're seeing things moving. So I always tell people the time to buy is when it's right for you, you know? So if right now, I feel like I don't think home prices are going to go lower. I feel like, especially if interest rates go down, that we're just going to see more people entering the market and that might drive prices up. Can you talk about the interest rates? Because I know that we had some things going on that would prevent interest rates from going down because we got some news.
Yeah. I mean, don't have a crystal ball, but you know, the Fed is looking at data to make decisions on if and when they're going to drop interest rates. And there was a chance that they were going to drop them in March or April, but unfortunately, our inflation numbers are still coming in higher. That happened yesterday. And last week on Friday, we had a report about unemployment for jobs that showing that the job market is still growing in certain sectors. So that's not the data the Fed is looking for to make the decision to lower interest rates.
Yeah.
We're still fortunate. I mean, we're not dealing with rates going higher to control inflation. Now the Fed is sitting and waiting and watching the data just mm-hmm. to see when would be a good time to lower. So I personally, and again, this is just my opinion, I think we'll see a quarter or a half rate reduction by the end of the year. Mm-hmm. And that's not a mortgage rate reduction. That's the, you know, the prime lending rate, you know, loans between banks, loans to consumers, we'll probably see some relief on. And then our interest rate market with mortgage-backed securities and we'll follow. We'll like that in economic news and our rates will improve as a result. But I think there's still a chance that by the end of the year, we'll be in, you know, maybe a quarter to a half, you know, percent lower rate market. But we can't count on that. Yeah. So we just need to get in so you can start, you know, because you're losing out on the appreciation. You know, between now and the end of the year, it just this waiting game. And like you said, Beth, it's just going to get, we already don't have enough houses for sale for buyers. Yeah. And if rates start to go down, more people will get in the market. So get in now. And if you need to refinance later, you can.
Yeah. I feel like anytime I've ever bought a home at the time, I'm thinking, oh, this is stretching me and this doesn't feel good. And am I buying at the top of the market? Because realtors do the same thing, right? Like when we're ready to buy, we're just going to buy. It's not always, you know, like with my mother-in-law, for example, like we had to move her because my father-in-law passed away. So we wanted to make sure she was close to us and she was nearby. And so we were buying and, you know, and it felt like, oh, you know, interest rates are higher. The price is higher. I had to beat out other offers in order to get it. But I was really glad that we did it because now prices are even higher. And I look back and I was like, oh my gosh. And I was worried then. Same thing with my own house. I mean, you know, whenever I feel that way, I always think, oh, the last time you felt this way, you know, you were glad that you did it. So
any big purchase, if you're not like, you know, rethinking it and having just a teeny bit of remorse when you hit that send button, you know, it's a big purchase. You just have to make sure you feel, you know, comfortable and you have all your questions answered. I agree. Yeah. But getting in is just the most important thing.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen since the beginning of the year, like sales have been up, I think like 26.5% and listings are creeping up and up and up, you know, but we still have limited inventory. So even though I think we have about 4 months of inventory or so, which is still a seller's market, I think when you get to 6 months inventory, it becomes a buyer's market. So, you know, so we're having more inventory, but you know, as quickly as homes are going on, they're coming off. So we're still seeing, you know, limited inventory and people are still coming here. So,
well, and I finance loans all over the state. So mm-hmm. for people who are listening, our first time home buyers are spreading out, you know, especially with all this remote work we have going on. So I can tell you on our side, financing, I am seeing more first time home buyers find a property that sticks, that they mm-hmm. get under contract. And I think we have two right now where the seller is paying closing costs. Mm-hmm. So, but it's, you know, one's in Polk County. We've got a couple up in Volusia. You know, people are spreading out. If you're looking in hot markets like downtown Orlando, Seminole County Public Schools, the competition is still really, you know, tough. But, yeah. you know, all over the state, things are starting to, I mean, I am seeing some positive vibes for buyers. So again, with closing costs being paid in certain areas, houses are coming on the market that might need some cosmetic work and we're mm-hmm. getting some great deals. So it's getting kind of exciting and busy again.
Yeah, I agree. And I think if a home has been listed for a while, you have some negotiating power. To your point, if it needs work, you have some negotiating power too for that. If you're willing to put in some elbow grease and get some things done, you know, with the exception of the bones of the property, because that can impact your ability to get insurance. So it's got to be a balancing act with that. But yeah, I mean, I think we're definitely seeing, we're listing more properties right now and just have been really busy. So more to come, awesome. More to come.
Awesome.
Well, we're going to take a break real quick for a word from our sponsor, and we'll be right back with some more Q&A from our listeners. So stay tuned.
This episode is sponsored by Legacy Life Project, creating personal biographies of elderly relatives in high-definition video so that future generations will be able to see and hear them tell their life stories in their own words. Create a lasting legacy for your family before it's too late. Visit LegacyLifeProject.com for details and to schedule a personal biography video interview.
Hey, everybody, we're back on the Homegirls podcast. And today we are talking about, well, we've got some Q&A from our listeners that we're excited about. So the next question on the list for today is, what is a recast and how does it work?
So a recast is something you would do after you buy your house, and it allows you, it's a payment towards the principal of your new mortgage. So you're going to make a large principal payment, maybe because you sold your house. Mm-hmm. Beth and I get this scenario a lot. Like, I own a house, Vicky owns a house, but I found a new house I really want to buy. Fortunately, I have some money in the bank, so I'm going to use that to buy that new house. But when the house I'm living in right now sells, I want to take a bunch of that money and pay down that mortgage and have a lower payment. That's a recast. you know, because if I would have sold first, I would have put more down to start and I would have had a lower payment to start and I'm more comfortable with that lower payment. But because of the market and I had to rush and use my own savings, you know, so now what do I do? So that's right. A recast where you, you do have to call and get permission if you want your payment lowered. You know, there's a difference between paying on your principal on your mortgage, right? A lot mm-hmm. of us do that monthly or, you know, when we get a big commission check or bonuses, whatever, once a year, once a month, whatever you do. A lot of us pay extra on our mortgage. That's a principal reduction. But if you want to make a principal payment and as a result, ask that your payment be re-amortized to a lower amount because now you owe less, that's a recast. Mm-hmm. And there is a fee associated with that. You can only recast a conventional loan. A lot of people don't know that. So conventional loans only, no FHA or VA loans can be recast. And you do have to call in advance and get wiring instructions. There's a modification agreement. They don't change your rate or anything. They're just, you know, an agreement that you know that your payment's going to result in your principal payment is going to result in your down payment, your monthly payment changing. You can do multiple recasts, but they usually charge a few $100s for the recast to be done.
So and I guess, you were talking to one of my buyers who I love that we didn't want to do a sale of her home contingency, right? Because they're hard to get accepted. She's looking in a really hot area. So that was what you were offering, a recast for her because she's selling a home. So that's another way to get around the sale of your home contingency. If in your market, you can't get a home, an offer accepted due to that additional contingency. Yeah.
Yeah. If you think about it, like in the scenario I gave where I was the buyer, I would have to qualify with both homes. So some people don't have this option because you have to qualify with the house you're living in, the payment on the proposed house, the house you want to buy, because you're going to own both at closing.
Right.
So as long as you qualify and you've got enough cash without selling your house to make the mortgage happen and the sale happen, then afterwards, it just gives you a chance to redo things. Because when you do sell your house, most of us are doing quite well. When we sell a house, we've got equity because we've been in the market. And you can put the money in the bank if you think you can make more than your interest rate. That sounds good. But a lot of my peeps are, you know, they're getting older and they're looking for, you know, a house that they might want to pay off in the near future. Or, you know, maybe their family's growing and the mortgage payment matters right now. So they want to lower it. And that's what you do a recast. That's when you do a recast. You can always pay extra on your mortgage, but if you want, as a result of that extra payment for your monthly payment to go down, that's a recast. Get permission. Make sure you wire it to the right place. Make sure you sign your forms and there will be a fee.
Got it. Thanks for the advice.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, these questions were really good. We appreciate you guys.
Yeah.
That's going to be all for this episode, but thank you for listening and thank you for your downloads and for following us. Thank you for your questions and keep those coming. We drop a new episode every other Tuesday and we can't wait to have you back. Have a great day, guys. Thank you, friends.
Thank you.